Good job, Hannah. Keep up the good work. Well, I want to call your attention to some scripture found in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 10. And you know, something that us preachers say quite often is we get up and we begin to give our reading lesson and we say, I want to call your attention to some familiar verses. And these verses that I want to read today, these are some verses that, quite honestly, I've not heard preached about real commonly, not heard really preached about real often. And it's found in Matthew chapter 10, and I want to begin with verse 32. These are the words of the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. And he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I want you to listen particularly to these next few verses, because it seems like kind of an odd thing for Jesus to have said. And it is, I think, unless you know, we can get at what he was actually saying. But Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 40. And I want us to think about, you know, what the Lord here said that he came to do. And again, excuse me, again in verse 34, it seems odd that the Lord would make the statement that he did not want people to think that he had come to send peace on earth. He said, I didn't come for that purpose. I mean, we read about in the ninth chapter of Isaiah where he was prophesying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said that one of the names or titles that he would be known as was the Prince of Peace. And we also read in the New Testament that he made peace by the blood of his cross. And when we are saved, we are given inward peace. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's our testimony. That's the testimony of those who have been saved, that we have been given peace with God. And surely we have. But Jesus here says, I didn't come to send peace, I came to bring a sword. He said, I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And what that basically means is Jesus is saying, I come to make division there among them. I came to alienate. The word, the term to set at variance there means to alienate them from one another. But I believe that certainly as we go on, and I know that as you have already seen in what was read, that the Lord explains to us what he was talking about here. And I want to talk about for a little while about, you know, what it takes in order to be saved. And we know that as we read in the 20th chapter of Acts, where the Apostle Paul there, when he was when he had called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he was reminding them of the things that he had preached among them, he was talking about to them how that he had preached to them the conditions of salvation. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, I believe it is, Paul said that he had kept back nothing that was profitable unto them, but had taught them publicly and from house to house repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those conditions must be met in order for anybody to be saved. You must repent of your sins before a holy God. And you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart in order to be saved. But I believe that there's something also that the Scriptures teach us. And I think that everybody that has truly, everyone that has had a genuine born-again experience knows this, because we've experienced this, that I don't believe that the Lord ever saves anybody that doesn't want that with all their heart. I don't believe that anybody has ever been saved or will ever get saved until it becomes a priority in their hearts. Until there's nothing else that matters to them as much as being saved. And I know that, you know, that was my experience. God, through the dealings of His Holy Spirit, I came to the point where, I'll never forget that. That's the one of the most clearest memories that I have, is remembering how that just before the Lord saved me, I got to the place where nothing else in the world mattered to me. I mean, all that was on my heart and all that was on my mind was making peace with God. And we know that there have been times, there have literally been times, and Jesus went on here in these verses that I read, and he said that if anybody loves their father or mother more than him, that they're not worthy of him. He said if anybody, you know, loves their son or daughter more than him, they're not worthy of him. And we could, in fact, Jesus did, I believe, perhaps in the gospel according to Luke, I believe it was, he even talked about the forsaking of houses and lands and, you know, material possessions in order to be his disciple. And what he was teaching us here was that there cannot be anything that we want more than him and have him. It just won't work. And there have been those, and I thought about when I studied this, that there have been those, and I have in my lifetime heard personal testimony But there have been those, because of the culture that they were raised in and because of the way that things were viewed among their family, there have been those that have literally been alienated from their family because they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and they sought Him for salvation, and it caused their family to not have anything to do with them because that was completely against their culture, or completely against, I might say, their religious beliefs or their religious culture. That went completely against that. And, you know, I think that many people have experienced this, that there can be people in your life that you may think are your friends. I know that I experienced this as a young person. There are people that can be in your life that you think are your friends, but when you seek the Lord and you get saved and you begin to live your life differently and you begin to live for Jesus, suddenly they don't seem to be your friends anymore. Suddenly they don't seem to want to have anything to do with you anymore. When you're not willing anymore to follow after sin, when you're not willing anymore to go and do the things that they want to do, when you are walking in newness of life because the Lord has changed you, then suddenly you're alienated from them. And so many people have experienced this. And I remember I was thinking about Brother Tajima, and I know that you all have heard this before, how that when he was saved as a young man, that it caused him to be alienated from his family. I heard him testify to this fact many years ago, that he was put out of his house. It's my understanding that some years later that his father did come to know the Lord, but he was, you know, that seeking Jesus and being saved and serving the Lord Jesus Christ was completely against that culture. And so he was alienated. But listen, I believe that this is true for us if we're going to be saved. And I believe it's true for us if we're going to actually be the servant of the Lord that he would have us to be. You can't really serve the Lord properly. You can't really serve the Lord. None of us can. We can't really serve Him in a way that's acceptable unto Him unless we love Him more than we love anybody or anything. If you love, you know, doing the work of a disciple, serving the Lord, if you have a greater love for your husband or your wife or your mother or your father or your son or your daughter, you know, listen, I know as parents, any parent that is worth their salt, any parent that's what they ought to be at all, has a great love for their children. God blesses us with those children and we just love them. But Jesus told us that if we love them, even our own offspring, even if we love our own precious children more than we love Him, that we're not worthy to be His disciple. And so, what he brings it to is that in order to be His child, we've got to be willing to lose our life, our earthly life. We have got to be willing to lose our earthly life in order to find eternal life. He that loseth his life will save it. He that tries to save his life, the same is going to lose it. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to guarantee this by the authority of the Word of God, that there has never been anybody that has come seeking the Lord and said, Well, you know, Lord, I would kind of like to have you, but I really don't want to give this or that up in order to have you. I'm going to promise you there's never been anybody saved with that attitude of heart. Everybody has got to be willing to lose all of that in order to find eternal life. And we have a great example of that. Jesus gave us a great example of that in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, with the young man that came to him, and he wanted to know what good thing he would have to do to inherit eternal life. And first of all, that's not how you get eternal life anyway. It's not based upon any good thing that you can do. It's based upon seeking the Lord and repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus to be saved. But this man came to Jesus and he wanted to know what good thing he could do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, well, then you'd have to keep the law. And he said, which? And he told him some of it. He said, well, I've done all these things from my youth. What is it that I lack? And Jesus said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible tells us that that man went away sorrowful because he had many riches. Now, and I know you've heard this before, but would that man have had to have literally went and sold everything he had in order to be saved? No. But he would have had to be willing in his heart to do that very thing. If he would have been willing in his heart to do that, the Lord would have saved him. The Lord would have given him eternal life. But he went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to part with those things because he had many riches. And listen, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's an earthly possession, whether it's a job, no matter what it is, anything in this life that means more to us than Jesus, we're not worthy of being his servant. And we've got to be willing to give it all up in order to be saved. You know, I think that this is hard teaching for human beings. And you know what? I don't like this easy believism stuff. I'll just tell you the truth, and I'll tell you why, because getting saved is not easy. It's not easy. You know, people say, oh, it's so easy to get saved. No, it's not easy to get saved because it's not easy as human beings because of our wicked hearts, because of our selfishness, because all of these bad traits that we have from Adam, it's not easy for human beings to give up anything. It's not easy for us to forsake ourselves. It's not easy for us to forsake things that make us feel good in the flesh. It's not easy to forsake riches. It's not easy to forsake fame because we have a nature that causes us to desire those things. I heard somebody say one time that getting saved for them was as easy as falling off a log. But they sure had a hard time getting up on the log. That's about right, isn't it? You know, it's not hard for the Lord to save us. He can do that easy. He's got the power to save us. It's not difficult at all for him to save us, but it is difficult for a human being to submit and to get to the place where we can be saved. But Jesus taught us these things, and these things are true, and they have stood the test of time. And if you want, if you're here today and you're lost and you want salvation, you're going to have to want it more than you even want life here. here itself. That's God's word. That's His teachings. I've shared this with you before, but it was a long time ago, and maybe you don't remember this, or maybe there's some of you here that don't remember this saying this, but me saying this rather, but I remember in the summer of 1990, my family and I, we moved to Washington, Illinois. I took up the pastorate of Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church, and when I got there, there was a young lady that was a member of the church there, had been saved and been a member of the church for about a year. And I remember the first time that I heard her tell her experience. She literally spoke about this. She said she was up on the mourner's bench seeking the Lord. She said she was praying and she just couldn't get there. And the longer she prayed, the worse she felt, and the more that she wanted to be saved, but she said she just kept seeking the Lord and just couldn't seem to find peace. And she said she finally came to the place, not just in her mind, but in her heart. She said she finally came to the place where she told the Lord, and she said she was sincere, just as sincere as she could be when she told Him this. She said she finally came to the place where she said, "Lord, if You've got to take my life in order for me to be saved, so be it." Right then, the Lord saved her. Now, I'm not telling you that if you come up here and say those words, I'm telling you, she got there in her heart to the place where she gave up her very life. And that's what Jesus told us here. He said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Everything in the world, life itself, that is true repentance. When we turn from sin, when we turn from self, when we turn from everybody and everything, and our hearts desire salvation, that is true repentance. Turning away from everything and turning to God with all of our heart and seeking Him. And when we get saved, as I said, when we get saved, that's the only way that we can serve Him acceptably. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 12, and he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, what we do, we don't strive to be acceptable in the eyes of one another. We strive to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, that we may prove His will, that we may prove what is acceptable unto Him. If you study, if you really look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said here, this isn't easy, is it? It's not easy. His teachings are not easy, but He never promised they would be. But they sure are rewarding. When, listen, there's never been anybody that has come to the point where they're willing to give everything up, and they do, and the Lord saves them. There's never been anybody that's regretted that. Have you ever, I know I never have, and I don't ever expect to. Have you ever heard anybody say, boy, I mean, I was condemned and I was under conviction and I went to the Lord and I prayed and I just got to the point where I just turned everything over to Him and He saved me by His grace and gave me peace and I sure wish He wouldn't have done it. I've never heard anybody testify to that. I've never heard anybody say, I gave it all to the Lord and He saved me and I regret it. I regret having given all that up. I've never heard anybody that's ever been anything but happy. Happy that they found the Lord. And I'll tell you what, whatever we give up, whatever we forsake in our service to the Lord, I promise you, it's worth it. He gave up everything to come here and save us. He left behind heaven to come here and die, be mistreated and die on the cross for our sins. He gave it all up to come here to make a way for us to be saved. And it's only right that we should have to give it all up in order to be saved. Those are the thoughts that I had today. I hope they've helped somebody. I truly do. If you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord, I don't want you to think that, you know, getting saved is an impossibility, because it's not, because all things are possible with God. But I want you to know the truth, that you've got to desire it with all your heart in order to have it. If there's anything in your heart that means more to you than Jesus, it'll be a hindrance to you. It'll be a hindrance to you getting saved. If there's anything in our hearts that mean more as children of God, if there's anything in our hearts that mean more to us than Jesus, it'll be a hindrance in us serving Him. It sure will. So I would like for us to have a song. And I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I know that...